I got a chicken salad sandwich out of this thing.
All of Ira Kaufman's work, including this Ira Kaufman podcast, is presented by Bill Curry Ford. That's Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Family owned for 65 years. That makes a difference. General Manager Sean Sullivan, you can reach out to him. He will help you in any way he can. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Otherwise, at their beautiful, gorgeous new multi-million dollar showroom, BillCurryFord.com. Sean's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. And check out their website. They've got great savings. They are beating every advertised price by $100. And it's not complicated. Just take a screenshot. They'll check it out. And that's how serious they are about getting you the best possible price for a vehicle. Now is the time to buy. Your trade-in will never be worth more than it is today. And it's going to be worth a lot less once the calendar turns to 2025. BillCurryFord.com.
It sounds like a GM possibly could also be talking for ownership.
Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is on. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And so much on the plate, Ira. I know we're going to be going all over the place in this podcast, and I'm actually excited about it. It's just a mishmash of all kinds of things, some cool takes by you, some cool insight, some behind the scenes on Todd Bowles, as well as a very cool thing that's coming up with the Bucks. And we've also got our picks, which are going to be pretty dynamic today, Sage. So homeowners and business owners in the audience, Sage, they know they have to go to FloridasElitereStoration.com. Go there now, FloridasElitereStoration.com. And see their services, see what they offer, see how highly regarded they are. Storm damage, flood damage, mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists, fire, whatever the disaster is at your home or your business, you want to call them first before you call your insurance company. You cannot call your insurance company and get set up to be ripped off. You don't want to do that. You need to fight the corruption in the industry, make sure it doesn't affect you by using Florida's Elite Restoration. They will come out to your property totally free, 24/7, to assess and evaluate the damage and the situation. And if you move forward with them, great. If not, at least you had professionals checking out exactly what's going on at your property. They've got the best technology. They cover the Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state. And of course, mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you end up using their services after the free consult, then you'll get $500 back. Maybe that's cash for your deductible, or just cash back on a repair or restoration. They do everything. So they're a one-stop shop if that's what you need. FloridasElitereStoration.com. All right, Ira, man, how are you? Hey, how's it going at age 70?
I'm doing all right. We got a dinner party tonight. We got a Christmas party. Not at my house, somebody else's. I went out and got the Italian cookies. It's the standard, Steve. You know, the little boy from Brooklyn going to somebody's house. You got to get the Italian cookies. With a few rainbows thrown in. You got to have the rainbows.
The sprinkles, you mean? The sprinkles?
No, there's a certain thing. Soft. And you know.
Covered in chocolate.
People love that.
Alessi?
People love that. No, place up by my way. But I don't know what's on the menu. Better not be liver and onions. I can tell you that. But I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the buck surge from 4-6. And I asked both Bowles and Mayfield, what's it say about the guys in the room? What's it say about this franchise? And Mayfield agreed with me when I said, 4-7 last year, 4-6 this year. I said, you probably played on teams that would have finished 6-11. He agreed with that. He didn't say who. Could have been the Browns. But this is a resilient team. This is a tough team. And I don't know if they're tougher than the rest, but I'll tell you what. They're tougher than the Falcons. And if that means anything, Bucks are going to end up with a division title. I'm not sure the Falcons are going to beat the Raiders. And I might just pick the Bucks to go out to L.A. and win this game. We'll see. That's later in the podcast. I might pick the Bucks.
All right, Sage. Well, you might pick the Bucks. You only have two choices. So.
And then, of course, we got the rumors du jour. Todd Bowles is retiring. This will be it. Uncategorical denial by Bowles.
Yeah, we're going to.
Unequivocal.
We're going to explain that and some of the genesis behind it, which I think fans will find a little interesting. Some of the craziness.
You got to connect dots.
Behind the scenes. You know, you talk to Bowles. I talk to Bowles. Yeah, we'll hit that. But let me ask Lee about this. Before I throw my two cents, do you think this is a tough team, Lee? Are you seeing this toughness I was talking about?
I hear other people saying it is. I'm not so sure. I don't know if it's as tough as the Steelers. The Ravens, hell no. I mean, Ravens slapped them around, put one of their best players on the shelf for the year. I don't know about how tough they are.
I'm talking more about attitude. Attitude. Well, they could have folded. They could have folded.
Mentally tough,
year.
You mean?
Mentally
okay,
tough.
Okay, okay. I'll agree with that. Physically tough, they might be a physically tougher team than Atlanta a little
bit. Tougher than they have been.
It could be just empty talk here. You know, Mayfield mentioned, you know, this is the culture. They don't look ahead too much. And in the locker room, Zion McCollum, I talked to him. The soon-to-retire Kevin O'Donnell of Channel 13.
Unlike Todd Bowles, the soon-to-retire.
McCollum answering O'Connell's question about why the team, the last 2 years, went on an ugly losing streak, and they could have easily folded. They did not. McCollum says that the veterans on this team pound it into the younger guys' heads. The only thing you need to worry about is today. Tomorrow will come. Today, you got a chance to change tomorrow. Worry about today. And he said they very much have, they don't look at the schedule. They're really focused on the task at hand. Now, is that just empty talk? I don't know. But they sure are way able to withstand a storm. Weather.
Steve, the facts are that two-thirds of the way through the season, in each of the last 2 years, this team was dead in the water. They were dead in the water. They could have finished 6-11. They didn't do that last year. And they're not going to finish 6-11 this year. So I think it's more than a coincidence. Steve, I don't know who's responsible. I think Bowles' demeanor is a factor because he doesn't change. And I think players respect that. But I also think it goes to the leadership on this team.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Ira. And I agree with you. I feel like it's been a tough club in some ways, mentally tough. In other ways, not so much. And it's all relative. So, you know, they've shown a great resiliency over 2 years. But I'm going to give you an example, Ira and Lee. Todd Bowles, on his radio show, he praised Levante David for a halftime speech that resonated, that stuck with the guys. Everybody fell in line. And it was brought up at the news. I wrote it up. It was brought up at the news conference. Anyway.
What was the emphasis from Levante David?
Okay, well, whatever it was, that's fine. Ball said sometimes it's for everybody. Sometimes he's pulling guys aside. Great leader. I don't doubt it. Except here's where the train goes off the tracks for me. The Bucks came out at halftime. Raiders had the ball and marched on a 16-play, 61-yard drive that took over 10 minutes.
And reached the 10-yard line.
Right, and it ended with an interception by Tyke Smith. Great play. I don't know what David talked about, but it's hard to say that it worked right away. Now, I understand messages can resonate later. His words can resonate in the fourth quarter with the guy, but it's hard to sort of praise certain types of leadership when it doesn't change anything right away.
So they didn't come out and
shut down
the Raiders. Yeah. Lee, I think there's something to be said for being a resilient team. And, Lee, I've been talking about attitude and mental toughness. I think it's fair to say one example of physical toughness on the field, can you run the ball? And now they can. In fact, they're doing it remarkably well, Lee. Remarkably well.
I want to say this is a resilient team. At least they were resilient against the Raiders. The Raiders. Mayfield had a rotten day. Bucky Irving gets hurt. They still find a way to win. Okay, it's the Raiders. Where was this resilience last month when their defense is getting the ball rammed down their throats at the end of the games? Games, plural. Where was that resilience? So I don't know how much stock to put in this emphasis
on
resilience.
The defense made some strides, Steve. They made some strides.
Strides, okay.
But it's the Raiders. You got
to
be careful.
I'm going to say they are resilient, but I'm not sure how resilient they are compared to other teams. We need to see more, but it's not the Bucks' fault also that they played crappy quarterbacks when it's hard for us to judge exactly how good the team is coming out of the bye, but they've won, and no one's going to take those wins away.
Maybe we didn't emphasize how tough the schedule was through 10 games.
We did, but you still didn't finish games.
You still lost to Atlanta twice.
Right, and you still had some issues late in games. I'll say even Todd Bowles wasn't exactly tough. He made some mentally, because it seemed like he made some mistakes late in games with decisions. But here we are, Ira. So Jason Light, the general manager, he did an interview with Adam Schein, Sirius Mad Dog Radio, Wednesday.
Schein loves Light, doesn't he?
Schein loves Light, sucking up to him was about 20 minutes. Interesting, Light very much implied that Antoine Winfield may be out the rest of the regular season. but he definitely would be back for the playoffs. Light said could be sooner, but somber was really the tone of Jason Light. It wasn't
somber.
Like, we expect him back in a couple of weeks, Adam. Keep your fingers crossed. It wasn't like that.
He also didn't say that Bucky Irving would be playing out in L.A. He didn't say that.
He said, quote, I'll read it to you. He said he didn't really have a setback last week. His back just tightened up, and they saw down on the field that he wasn't himself.
I think that's a setback.
So the trainers wanted to get him off the field and just shelter him was the word Light used. I have a feeling, I could be completely wrong. Lee, would love your thought. Sage, I have a feeling Irving would have gone back in if White wasn't doing what he was doing.
Maybe. If I had to choose and predict, I don't think Irving's going to play in L.A. I don't think he's going to play.
Backs are tricky. Backs are tricky.
Plus, the other two guys are doing well, Lee.
Yeah. Now, I know not everybody's in love with Sean Tucker, but he does find a way each game to get at least one run.
Yeah.
That one run could be big. So.
Now, the Chargers have a really good defense, Steve.
Do they?
I think they do.
You know, I hear...
I mean, the proof's in the numbers, Lee.
Well, there we go. I keep hearing they have such good defense. And I just last night, I looked at their rushing numbers, rushing defense. It ain't that good.
Lee, it's all about one thing, scoring defense. How many points are you giving up?
Well, that
in that regard, they're doing really well.
Okay. But as far as statistically against the run, they're not doing that well.
The flip side, Steve...
The Bucks, on the other hand, are.
Steve, unless you want to argue with me, the flip side, that's a very pedestrian offense, even with Justin Herbert. I don't think McConkie's 100%. He's
nope.
Their main target. Dobbins, Lee, as you pointed out in the last couple of weeks, he's out. Gus Edwards is your number one back. Steve, really? They don't score a lot of points, Steve. The Chargers don't score a lot of points. It could be another good opportunity for the Buck defense.
It's a very interesting situation because, as you said, the numbers, the Chargers are number one in the NFL in points allowed. So, hey, that's a great defense. Doesn't mean it's... playing up to its optimum abilities right now, but it's a great defense, strong, good pass rush. First guy I thought was interesting, first guy Mayfield talked about today was Derwin James.
Yes.
A guy whose name still rings for a lot of Bucks fans out of Florida State, the safety. But Harbaugh entered the league, went to free agency to run the ball. He decided, NFL, I'm coming in, I'm running first, baby. And it hasn't really worked out for him. And there's a lot of Chargers fans. I started reading some of these Chargers.
Dobbins wasn't doing bad, Steve.
No, not at all. But they're still not scoring a lot of points. And look who they have, a quarterback. He didn't go out and sign a bunch of receivers and draft a bunch of receivers. He said, we're going to run the ball.
So what is it? Run the ball, play defense, and don't turn the ball over?
Yeah.
I mean, those are the three parts of the triangle.
Yeah. For now, I mean, Harbaugh's on a multi-year plan. He just got there. But right now, this is not a team that puts up a lot of points. But we know what happens when good quarterbacks have faced the Bucs. That's what I want to see. What do you do against a guy who's really a good quarterback?
He doesn't turn the ball over, Lee. Herbert doesn't turn the ball over. He'd rather take a sack or throw the ball away than throw into coverage. Their ball possession, they own the ball possession. It's a classic Harbaugh formula.
Yeah.
Kind of the same one he used in
San
Francisco.
Pound the ball, stop and run.
Mind-blowing trivia question for you. In how many games this year have the Chargers had a turnover?
Out of 13 games?
13 games, and how many games have they actually had a turnover?
Four.
Two?
Four.
Wow.
That's big time. Yeah, that's hard to do.
A couple Monday nights ago, and I thought they were going to beat the Ravens. Dobbins was fantastic. Dobbins got hurt near the end of the first half. That changed the entire game. The Chargers were a completely different team without Dobbins.
And, of course, Dobbins used to be a Raven. Yeah.
Yep.
So he came from there. It's a good matchup, Steve. I'm not sure what the point spread is. I don't see why they can't win this game. Now, we'll get into that more later, but this is a confident team right now. I don't think the Bucs are a team a lot of teams want to play right now. Lee, they're on a three-game streak. They're not killing people, but, Steve, to be honest, Carolina's playing good football now for like 4 or 5 weeks. Lee, it's not a two-week thing. Canales is doing a good job over there. They're really competitive. All of a sudden, in retrospect, that Carolina game doesn't look like a fluky win for the Bucs. They won the game.
So let me take fans on what's been going on with Todd Bowles and his job status. Okay, so
it all started with Lee DeKemper.
It all started with Lee. Everything always starts with Lee, doesn't it? So it starts with Lee. He's listening to Michael Lombardi, who has a GM Shuffle podcast.
And Lee listens religiously.
It's a popular national NFL podcast. Lombardi was a GM for the Browns. He's been a very recent advisor to Bill Belichick with the Patriots. They have a long history, similar age, or Lombardi's in his late 60s.
Isn't he on with the Mad Dog on Fridays, Lee? And they pick games?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And he also hosts Bill Belichick's YouTube show, which is highly produced, and they're in the same building together. They're tight. There's no doubt about it.
Belichick shows up at his house
for
weekend barbecue.
So Lombardi, and I'll read what he said on the podcast.
It was kind of an offhand comment, right, Steve?
A blind item almost.
Lee's hanging around. He's cooking up his barbecue and listening to Lombardi. And he hears Lombardi out of nowhere, unprovoked.
Well, first he talked about how the Bucs are very resilient, right, Steve?
He did. He did. Todd Bowles' guy, and they're from the Bill Parcells tree.
He said they're tougher than the Falcons, right? He did say that.
He did. Falcons got lucky, is his mindset. And he said, give Todd Bowles credit, referring to what you just said, quote, everybody thinks he's not going to keep his job. A lot of people think Bowles may retire at the end of the year. So Lee hears that and is like, whoa. So turns out Lee calls the sage and says, hey, guess what I just heard? And
it's about 8 o'clock at night.
Sage calls Todd Bowles. Todd, get out of bed. It's Ira. And of course, coach picks up.
You know. And I told him what was coming the next day, ahead of time.
And nobody let me know. So I called Bowles at about 5 a.m.
Well, I got an unequivocal denial. I got an unequivocal denial. What'd you get?
So I reach out about 5 a.m. and say, hey, this is rolling here. You want to comment on the record? And he says, yeah. And he tells me, quote, was definitely not retiring. And so here we go. So we know that this is some back channel stuff that Belichick's people are throwing out there because
Belichick's right in the middle of this thing, Lee.
Whoa.
And he's got his minions. And if you want to use that word on Lombardi, you could.
Florio did.
Or spokesman,
Mouthpiece.
And a lot of things are swirling around Big Bill right now. You got the UNC thing. It's a done deal. And Lombardi's leading the charge, Lee. But this thing about Bowles retiring, the only thing I remember Bowles saying, Lee, and it's not the same as retiring, is it's going to be the last team he's going to be a head coach for.
Yeah, he said that last year.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's denying that, but Steve, to think he's, what is he, 61, I think?
61,
just turned 61 in November.
That makes him a young kid compared
to
Belichick.
He's a kid, yeah.
He's just a kid. And I told Lee I was going to do it, and Lee winced a little bit. But Bowles gets to the podium, and I said, all right, tell us when you're going to hang it up, Todd. When you're going to hang it up. And I got a laugh out of him. In fact, I think later on he made a reference to, I guess I should retire because his memory's going.
Yeah, he didn't remember. He was asked about a previous game or something in the spring, a mini camp, and he's like, I don't remember. I guess I should retire. I'm getting
Steve, bottom line, Bowles controls his own future. He controls his own future in Tampa. Win 10 games, Lee. Win the division. Maybe win a playoff game. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere unless you do decide to retire. He controls his own future, Lee. No decisions have been made about Todd Bowles from ownership right now. Why should it be? It's 4 games left and he's in first place. Let's see what happens. Now, by the end of this weekend, they might not be in first place. They could be technically in second place. If Atlanta wins, they got the tiebreaker. And if the Bucs lose, so I'm not convinced the Falcons are going to win on Monday night.
Oh, I know you're not, and it's kind of fun for the sake of fandom and just sports in general here in Tampa Bay. It's really fun that Atlanta game is on Monday night.
Yeah.
Because no matter what happens with the Bucs, I'm really curious to see what the ratings are. I'm actually going to reach out to a guy I know who can get them for me to see how many Bucs fans are engaged. But, Sage, I got to bring this up, and we're diverting a little bit, but not much. Now, you mentioned Lombardi and the Belichick job in North Carolina. You'll believe it when it's a done hard deal and there's a news conference. Now, that reminded me of years ago when Brett Favre was allegedly coming to Tampa. You reported it for the Tribune because your sources were rock solid.
And the Bucs had a press conference set.
Press conference set, but it never happened in 2008.
Happened.
Now, the Buccaneers have commissioned a documentary.
Don't I know it, Steve? Don't I know it?
50 years of the franchises next year on the field. It's their 50th season. And they are spending 7 figures on producing a documentary that is going to be Hollywood caliber and 5 or 6 hours in length. We're not talking like an episode.
For example, they wanted Bruce Allen. They went out to Arizona for Bruce Allen. They wanted Steve Young. They went to the Bay Area, not the Tampa Bay Area, the other Bay Area on the West Coast. They're spending money hand over fist, Steve. And how come I can't get a little piece of that shekels. I sat for 5 hours with these people.
So I went with you Saturday to One Buck Place.
I got a chicken salad sandwich out of this thing, Stevie.
I thought it was tuna.
I took a bite out of somebody else's tuna.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I also went back to my own chicken salad.
Got it. So thanks for the clarification.
There you go.
So I went with you for your third sit-down for the documentary.
Second.
Oh, I thought it was your third. Okay. Yeah. And one thing that we learned there, which you asked, and we're not going to share it because we promised not to save it for the documentary, but I'll say this. You asked the director, hey, Trent, did you sit down with Bruce Allen? What did he say about the Brett Favre deal? And I think fans are going to learn once they watch the movie that this sage not only had it right, and you know his credibility should not be questioned when it comes to that time period.
And Steve, just to clarify, and Lee, you know this is true, ESPN had three people on that story, full time, for about a week. Three. Ed Werder going here, going to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I'm going to talk to the agent, Bus Cook. They're all over the place. And here I am in Orlando for training camp, and I'm getting the real scoop. And they didn't nail it down, Lee.
Well, hats off to Trent Cooper, the director of the project.
He's big time, that guy.
Oh, famous guy. Yeah, big time. Anybody can Google him. Easy name to find.
This could be a Netflix project, Steve. You never know.
Well, hey, it's up to the Glazers what they want to do with it, you know. But
did he produce Varsity Blues?
No, but he spent 7 years with Kay Adams.
Impressive.
So, anyway... he's a regular listener to the podcast, a Bucks fan from Lakeland.
Loves the pod.
You know, doesn't live in town, but we appreciate him listening, and that was pretty cool.
He loved the fact that I dropped a reference to the documentary a week or two ago. He heard that. He loved it. You know, extra publicity for him. They're going to talk to 75 people, I think he said, Steve.
At least. So,
how many minutes of airtime am I getting on this thing?
I don't know, Ira. At least two.
I'm surprised that Bruce Allen sat down for it. I thought he did not leave on good terms.
Time heals.
Yeah, time heals.
Hey, John Gruden is
got Gruden
sitting in the owner's box.
And they got Joel Glazer for 5 hours.
That blows me away.
5 hours.
And he was only half finished.
And only half finished.
Yeah. So it's going to be a very comprehensive, amazing production. We're looking forward to it. The hype will build. It's supposed to come out for next season at some point. So
throwing things out at me like, what, the biggest draft bust in Buck history?
Oh.
I really had to think about it. I mean, there's a lot of contenders.
Yeah.
I went with Bo Jackson, but, you know, you there's other ones.
Yeah, you told it well. All right, so, Sage, let me bring you back to...
Were you on the beat then?
Yeah, it was my second year in Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah, I came in 85.
Let me take you back to the Bucks. So, regarding Bulls... Jason Light was asked with Adam Schein, asked about the story about Todd Bowles and the chatter out there of him retiring. And he said, Jason, what do you have to say about this?
And Schein probably saw it on Pro Football Talk,
right,
which mentioned Joe Buck's fan.
Sure. So he said of Todd Bowles, he said a lot of energy, that Bowles has a lot of energy. He's having a lot of fun. He doesn't see Bowles retiring. That's what Light said. Quote, I don't see that being the case with Todd. And he was asked directly, is he your coach going forward? Light said, quote, I'm excited about the prospects of working with Todd. He didn't say, hey, Adam, he's the 2025 coach. You know, this is nonsense. What do you say about his response?
It sounds like a GM possibly could also be talking for ownership. And what he didn't say was, we want to see what happens in the next 4 weeks.
I was just going to say.
I think that's the whole thing.
I was just going to say that. He doesn't want to get ahead of himself.
We saw what happened with Chucky when he lost his last four. What happened.
That's a little different only because that was an aging roster.
But he had won a Super Bowl, and Bowles doesn't have that.
True.
So you're saying it could have been a little stronger, Steve, a little stronger.
Well, we know it could have been stronger. I'm just asking if it means anything, so we'll take you on what you said.
I think it's like no decisions have been made, you know.
Yes.
I got a new rumor, Steve. It's not Belichick related.
I was not arrested.
No, it's a good one, Steve, and it makes a little bit of sense.
What's your name, Ira?
Shall I proceed? Here's the rumor. This comes from a buddy of mine. He reads everything about the Jets and the Giants.
What's your name, Ira?
Here's the rumor. Mike Vrabel coaching the Jets in 2025 with a general manager by the name of Mike Greenberg. The theory being Vrabel wants control. He's a power-hungry guy.
That's why he got...
Greenberg, brilliant on the cap, brilliant. Nobody thought the Bucks would be able to keep their players with the whole Brady cap mess and this and that. Greenberg finds a way, Lee. Greenberg finds a way, and Light leans on him.
You're not referring to Mike Greenberg of ESPN.
No.
You know, Jets homer.
This is capologist extraordinaire. What do you think, Steve? Greenberg's been rumored. Nobody's hired Spytek. Nobody's hired Greenberg. Light's got to lose some of these guys at some point. Steve, what's going
on? It's an interesting rumor. I wrote about this actually at JoeBucksFan.com.
Not every GM's a personnel guy, right, Steve? Not
correct.
Everyone.
On JoeBucksFan.com, might have been a month ago, Tiki Barber was lobbying on the air for Greenberg to get the Jets job because he thought it would be a good fit. You know, grew up a Jets fan as well, Greenberg, which would play well. But who knows, Ira? Who knows?
You know who was like that, Lee? Wasn't Joe Banner like that in Philly? Sort of the money guy?
I've talked to / heard from more than a couple people. That guy is the ultimate backstabber. That guy is an SOB. That you can't trust him as far as you can throw him.
Sounds like a journalist I know.
Now, Greenberg's not like that.
Real quick about Vrabel. You said he's power hungry. He certainly is. He won a power struggle between him and John Robinson to gain control of the team.
That's right, Lee. That's right.
And what happened? The team collapsed and he got run.
And John Robinson's out of football as far as I know.
It seems like it, yeah. But that happens to general managers. They don't always come right back to a personnel gig or something like that.
I don't think Greenberg is the type to butt in on draft decisions.
He doesn't seem like it, no.
Doesn't seem like it.
He's not a personnel guy. He's not a scout. He was a scout for 1 year.
Steve, you got a salad there. You haven't even touched it. Steve.
I'll eat it later, Sage. Salad and podcasting, not the greatest fit. So, Ira, wanted to throw this out there for the sake of your voting and your thought process and your studying, since you are one of, I think it's 50 AP voters around the country who vote for MVP, All-Pro, all that sort of stuff. Now,
and only regular season counts.
You've said on the podcast that you might vote for Luke Goedeke as a second team.
I'm looking at him.
We'll see how Goedeke performs against the mighty Chargers pass rush. But maybe you might want to do a little extra digging, see if he's actually even worthy of first team.
Well, the now, Detroit guy's going to get it.
Yeah.
He's got Penny the
Sewell.
Reputation.
Your vote, I'm just talking about your vote. I don't care who's going to get it. You might want to look deeper on
it. I will.
I don't know.
I will.
Tristan Wirfs on the Buccaneers Radio Network talked about facing Max Crosby, who bounced on both sides of the line.
He did.
And Wirfs explained, hey, I tried something against Crosby early. It didn't work. I got beat.
Yeah, he did.
Mayfield got hit. I felt really bad about it. It was in my head, and I realized, I'm not doing that again. I can't experiment with that. He said, Goedeke, nothing. Crosby had nothing on him.
You know one thing that strikes me about the Buck tackles, Lee, and they're a big, big attribute for this football team, and you got to give Light credit. He drafted both of them. You know how closely I watch the Chiefs, Lee? Very closely. And Mahomes never gets a clean pocket. I mean, very rarely does he ever get a clean pocket. And that's why his numbers aren't very good, but I still think he's a hell of a player.
Because at the
end of games, he doesn't make any mistakes, Lee. He doesn't make any mistakes. And their tackles suck. And when you watch them, that Jawan Taylor who lines up in that funky stance.
And he jumps early
and then
all
the guy, time. The guy on the left side's terrible. When they moved the guard over in the middle of a game, you don't see that. He was so bad. Then they used DJ Humphreys last week. He's got a hamstring injury. The
already.
Guy played less than a game already. So anyway, just the contrast, Steve, between the tackles on a team that's going for a third Super Bowl and the Buck tackles, it's stunning. Stunning the difference.
What sticks out in your mind when Light was talking about Goedeke? See if you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Light was talking about the camaraderie of the offensive line on the air. He said that they're central command, quote, of this organization. Really talking about everybody, which is what Light does.
He's very proud of the O-line.
But
he
really emphasized the backups of how, you know, guys went down. These guys came in. They're so tight.
He loves
Bredesen. I don't remember anything specific on Goedeke.
Here's what really jumped out at me. But this is the line of work we're in. And I'm a writer, not a broadcaster. So generally, I don't give a damn how you pronounce the name. But a German from the Midwest like Light, he mispronounced Goedeke's name.
What do you so call him?
Goedeke.
Oh! By the way, there seems to be a general consensus, and you guys mentioned it the other day, and I'm going to confirm it because somebody in the organization confirmed it. Barton struggled Sunday.
Yeah, you
Barton
see
struggled.
It. Yeah.
You could see it. Yeah. Steve, if the Bucks win this game, that's a big if. Big. I think they're in excellent shape, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent shape.
Let's put it this way. The number 3 seed right now is in play.
That was a good story by you.
You know, everybody's looking just make the damn playoffs, but Seattle's got a brutal schedule, and the Bucks are one game behind, and the Bucks would own the tiebreaker if the Bucks got to 10-7, they would own the conference record tiebreaker. So Seattle's got to go 3-1 if the Bucks go 10-7 to get the number three seed.
So then
seed.
You would play the 6 seed?
You'd play the 6. Instead of Minnesota, you'd get Green Bay.
Interesting.
Real quick.
And you'd be home.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be home
now,
as a
division winner.
That's
assuming Green Bay hangs in there.
Well, when ESPN number. Loved that. Monday night, Green Bay.
But the game beating Tampa.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
It's still the Packers.
Yeah,
the eyeballs. McDonald, guy at Seattle, doing a hell of a job.
He is.
And he's a horrible guy. Defense, run the ball, no turnovers.
Boy, Lee, there's a half dozen coaches that are doing a hell of a job.
Tomlin
and O'Connell. O'Connell's strong.
Oh, when's the last time you saw a team pick up a quarterback that everybody had given up on, everybody called a bust, and he's still in contention to win the division?
The Bucs last year. The Bucs last year. Nobody wanted Mayfield.
Well,
it doesn't happen often. Lee.
I think the Vikings have a better record than Bucs did.
They do.
And a tougher division.
Well, the crazy thing, which, you know, eventually it's going to shake the NFL in different ways. You look at Geno Smith, number 2 in the league in passing, and you've got Baker Mayfield has done what he's
Darnold
done.
Threw Sam 5
Darnold,
touchdowns last week.
Sam Darnold got another guy walking the streets. Matthew Stafford was picked up in a trade.
So there's guys you can get.
You don't need to draft a quarterback. It's being proven. You know, I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes.
You got to get the guy in the right situation.
Got to have a lot of luck, yeah.
And even Mahomes, middle of the first round, not even taken up top.
And so, FYI.
Steve, one more thing I like to throw out there. This Tyke Smith kid, who we talk about a lot. If somebody thinks that we're talking about him too much, Lee, I think that's a bunch of nonsense.
Probably not enough.
You know who can't say enough things about Tyke Smith? Bowles. Bowles loves this guy. And it started at training camp, right?
Probably.
Remember how early the kid gets in, how curious he is, how questions he asks?
I'm thinking
he thinks he's extremely instinctive.
I'm thinking it started way before that. Bowles knew the guy, you know, because his son plays there.
Yeah.
And that's probably where
it started. And, of course, Bowles played in the secondary as a player.
And I don't know if you saw the video, the current video, where behind-the-scenes look at Light, their most famous scout. He's famous because of who his dad is.
Well, what we watched in that current video was Larry Foote drilling Tyke Smith on playbook stuff.
Steve, I don't even think it's a stretch to say that Tyke Smith's presence on the field has a direct impact on what Bowles thinks he can do on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. He, on his radio show Tuesday, he stressed the elite speed with which Smith learns. How really brilliant the guy is on a football level. It's really accelerated his
can
growth.
You play better coverage than he did on Bowers on that interception?
Well, I went to watch Brock Bowers and what he said about the interception.
And the guy's a hell of a route runner.
Bowers downplayed it, said almost like, you know, the way I ran the route, I messed up a little. But great play by Smith.
Here's what I was telling you about Ira. Byron Kiefer, who has worked with the Bucks, even predates Light. In that video on the current, which they pulled the curtain back on Light's personnel meetings and stuff, he wasn't just banging the table. He was banging the table. Basically said, they're all con artists if they don't draft Tyke Smith. Saying how Tyke Smith is the player that the team wants to be about. He's got every attribute that the team desires. And to pass up on him would be fraudulent
now,
for
Lee,
everybody.
They waited till the fourth round, Lee. They did
they
wait.
They still drafted him.
Third.
They still drafted him.
Third round.
I thought McMillan was the third.
Smith also.
Oh, okay.
They still drafted him. And Kiefer banged the table saying, this is the MF-er we want in this team. I mean, so it went way before training camp. Bowles was on his radar. Obviously, the personnel department was on his radar. This guy was on everybody's radar with the Bucks.
Especially with Winfield out, they got to have Tyke Smith on the field.
You saw the video, right? How Kiefer went bananas. We got to draft.
I didn't remember if it was Smith, but I remember him going bananas. All right, Sage, we're going to get to our picks, and I have one question for you, which we got to hear as well. BillCurryFord.com. Get there. Start shopping there. Holiday savings, but more important, family-owned. GM Sean Sullivan is there for you 24/7 at BillCurryFord.com. Ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. It's a real thing, the Sage discount. And you know what? That applies to a big body shop job or maybe not an oil change, Ira, but it definitely applies to everything there. BillCurryFord.com. 65 years in Tampa. And we thank our friends that we heard from at Florida's Elite Restoration. If your house is messed up, you get that flood, that damage, call. Don't let the insurance companies rip you off.
And call quickly.
Exactly. Time is important, and you can find out why at FloridasElitereStoration.com.
Can you give Sean Sullivan a shout-out? Tell your listeners, Ira, about his
his savviness in fantasy football.
He did last podcast.
Well, this is another one.
No, this is an update. Now, I got eliminated, and I'm kicking myself because I started Bucky Irving, and I could have had Chuba Hubbard. And if I don't know if I would have won, but I might have lost by a point. Instead, I got skunked. Sean Sullivan, in the other matchup, went up against Todd Wright. Most teams score about 80 points. Todd Wright scored 110. He had Josh Allen. He threw for three and he ran for three.
And here comes Sean.
The guy had 50 points off one player. One. Here comes Sean Sullivan. He was 10 points behind going into Monday Night Football. He had the Dallas kicker, Aubrey, who's good, but you can't count on 10 points from a kicker. And he had Jamar Chase. He ended up with 135 points. Nobody had ever seen this.
Ball game.
Sean's still alive. There's only four players left. And I think he won it last year.
He did, yeah.
And
that's the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru for you.
Unbelievable.
He does his homework.
All right. Super quick question, Ira. Rashad White now has 10 receiving touchdowns. That's number two all time in Buccaneers history behind Mike
Olson. You mean 10 career?
Yeah. 10 career. All time in Bucs history. Three behind Mike Alstott.
Wait. Say that again? What do you mean second in Buc
Rashad
history?
Rashad White.
Among running backs? You didn't say that.
Sorry. Second among running backs and fullbacks in Buccaneers
history.
That's
more than Warwick Dunn.
More than Warwick Dunn.
More than Wilder.
Yep. He got his 10th on Sunday. That's number two in Tampa Bay history behind Alstott with 13.
Lee, I think the biggest story with Rashad White is he's running the ball well, especially last week. 90 yards.
Well, does that stat surprise you?
No, because we've been talking about him as a pass receiver, making the first guy miss. He's really good. He's a good football player.
He's
not as good a guy with the ball in his hands behind the line of scrimmage as Bucky Irving. He's not.
Yeah,
but he's a good football player.
Here's what, real quick. I'm surprised at that stat because I thought Warwick Dunn would have been much higher.
I would have thought
much
so.
Higher.
Now, he played some of those years with Atlanta also. Dunn.
Well, I'm not even talking about Atlanta. I'm just talking if you would have said he had to split with Alstott, okay. But still, I thought Dunn would have had more. I have been and still am not overly impressed with Rashad White as a runner between the tackles. I'm just not. I'm very impressed with him as a receiving back. Very. Here's what I will say to his credit. You used this word a lot earlier, and this is a perfect example. He's a tough runner. And watched him, you think he's a finesse guy?
He ran with a lot of toughness last week.
Yes, he's a tough runner. He doesn't often lose yards. He may not gain a bunch, but he fights his way for
yards. That was a classic stiff arm last week, Steve. Classic.
Warwick Dunn, real quick, 3 receiving touchdowns as a rookie, 0 as a second-year player. Then he had 2 in 98, 1 in 2000, 3 in 2001. And when he came back in 2008 and caught 47 balls, he didn't have any.
So he had 9.
That's really surprising, given his talents.
All right, Ira, time for the picks.
I'm going
John
second.
Lousy, an offense.
You're going second. Lee, you want to go first or third?
I'll go third.
Third, okay. No, I say no. I don't think that the Bucs with Christian Izian and Kayvon Merriweather at safety, I think they're going to have trouble in the middle of the field. I get what Bowles is doing, playing dime packages and mixing things up, but this is a much better quarterback. Doesn't have a ton of weapons, but between the defense and I'm watching that game again, Ira, Baker Mayfield, he looks like that foot is bugging him a little bit. It really does. And without Bucky Irving, if he can't go, and I'm thinking on turf, they may not play him. 21-17 Chargers.
I'm going to pick the Bucs to win this game. I don't care that they're going cross country, Lee. Mike Evans has to step up this week. He's feeling good. Get him the ball.
Yeah.
Get him the ball. They might put Derwin James on him. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Him the ball.
Yeah.
And take a couple of shots downfield, Mr. Cone. Will you do it? The Charger offense does not scare me.
No.
So that removes the biggest concern about the Bucs, which is their defense. I don't see the Chargers scoring 35 points. They don't do that. I'm going with the Bucs 20-16, a field goal affair out in L.A. You'll be there, Lee. Watch your driving around Los Angeles. Be careful, my friend. I'm going with the Bucs in an upset. 8-6 for your Buccaneers. Coming home from L.A.
What's the score?
20-16.
I'll go 24-21 Bucs.
Oh!
Late field goal. This is sort of like the Chiefs. What I mean by that is
Lee's a believer. He believes.
Wow. Well, this is what I believe.
The Panthers game is finally behind
him. God, he's a believer.
Well, this is what I believe.
Everybody says the Chiefs are lucky. What's the cliche? Luck is design of skill or something like that.
Yeah, residue of design.
Bingo.
Nice, Steve. Nice.
I think all these close games the Bucks have gone through, they've gone through many.
Yes. Finally including pays the Chiefs game.
Yes. Finally pays off. You know, they lost so many close games. I think it finally pays off. They get a field goal last few seconds. 54-yard field goal.
For McLaughlin?
Yes. And they win 24-20.
Two out of three picking the Bucks, Stevie.
Hey, I feel bad now, but you know what?
I'm just not impressed. You know, I know it was only one game. I watched that Chargers Monday night game with Baltimore, and I'm telling you, when Dobbins left, that was a different team. That was certainly a different offense. And Dobbins is still dinged up. This rookie wide receiver from
McConkie. Yeah. He's good. He's good.
He's dinged up.
He's dinged up.
I just think it's going to be a hell of a lot closer.
Don't give the Chargers short field, Steve. I don't think the Chargers have a good enough offense to go 80, 85 yards.
I hope it's not an X factor, but we saw that the Bucs punter, the new guy, looked terrible. Todd Bowles chalked it up to, quote, rookie jitters. They're going to go with that guy. I hope that for his sake and for all our sakes that the guy can punt because that could ruin the game.
I just hope he can hold the freaking place kick.